Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC.
Hi, Christy.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am okay.
We're going to continue on the skills. So we've done the reflective responding, which is three different skills, and given you, we're trying to structure them by the what, why, and how. Today we're talking about choice giving. So we've talked about the what, we've talked about the why. Let's go into
the how. So before we jump into the how, I do want to say there are two type of choices that we give. And I think this isn't a really important. Mm-hmm. And we want to start by saying this is a skill that we may not use as frequently in the playroom mm-hmm. as we may when we're working with guiding parents. And this may be a skill we teach parents mm-hmm. more than we utilize in the playroom. And so we do want to acknowledge that from the get-go so that you guys are aware, choice giving to parents, I do teach them empowering choices first. I don't teach choices as consequences first. I go with empowering choices first. And then, you know, maybe a week or two later, I will then teach choices as consequence or use Dr. Landreth's video, Cookies, Choices, and Kids. But I want to put in the empowering choices first so kids can start to feel the weight of making decisions before we put this more important responsibility of, you know, really needing to regulate themselves to make a decision when one of the choices is not going to be the one that they want.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's important to also recognize it may not feel like we're always giving choices, but if we are inviting children into our space, we are mm-hmm. inherently giving them a choice when we say, in here, you can choose to play with all of these toys in a lot of the ways that you would like to. And that is opening up each session with them having the choice. And again, it's also kind of providing them responsibility too. And so we are doing that within every session by sharing that within them, that you are within that space that you get to decide in here. And so we're inherently giving that choice when we're doing that. Yes. I also find that I use choices a lot when entering, right? So sometimes.
So tell me more about, well, let's start with how do you give choices? And Maggie, as you're talking about it, can you talk about if you're looking at this as an empowering choice or choices as consequence or as reprimands?
So I try and use them as empowering choices.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I try and use empowering choices whenever possible. And I think inherently there's like a message that some things aren't a choice and some things are, if you will.
Yeah.
So if you're entering into this space, I want you to come into the room, right? That's the goal. And mm-hmm. and so the choices may be, or I think maybe it might be easier if we look at exiting the room, because I hear this a lot. And
how do you get kids to leave?
Right. So I don't think of that necessarily as a consequence because I'm not saying if you don't leave this room right now, right?
You're leaving anyway.
Right. But like they do have to leave. Like we can't yeah. be here forever. So in some ways, there isn't a choice in leaving the room, but I can empower them in making choices as to how they leave the room. And so I really try and empower them in those times and give them, sometimes they make their own choices. I like it best when they can make their own choices as opposed to when I provide choices, because I think that limits their freedom in some way. And so, but it may be that you can, now is time for leaving. You can choose to turn off the lights or you can choose for me to turn off the lights. Or you can choose to skip or you can choose to walk. You know, those are kind of some choices and they may say, I choose to run. I'm like, cool.
I think you need to know your environment. So for our school-based play therapists, right? Know right. the environment that we're not going to get them in trouble with a choice as they leave the playroom. So like in schools, running in the halls would really not be acceptable. Not be okay. And skipping may not be either, right? And sometimes in those moments, in schools in particular, because I do some school-based mental health work, is encouraging them to either, sometimes I'll say we can walk in slow motion, mm-hmm. or we can walk back on our tippy toes, right? So those are what Maggie's talking about. Choices is you have two options. Which one are you going to pick? And then I personally like to put the word choice in there. Yeah. And I do like to put the word choice. You know, you can choose, or not choice, the word choose. You can choose A or you can choose B. Even for empowering, choices can be really helpful.
Because what that is inherently doing is their ownership and trust, right? That they are making.
Well, the message is clear, right? Like, who is making the decision?
You are choosing that. And
you convey your trust to the child that you believe that they can make one of these choices in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it really kind of, I think it reduces, I think it does all of the things of the why that we've
yeah.
shared. And so I do every time I'm giving choices, I try and say you're choosing.
Mm.
Or you, and the, oh, so sorry, let me back up. You can choose this or you can choose that. You chose this. So I'm mm-hmm. like choose, and then reflecting when they make the choice, what they chose, because I'm really trying to reiterate that they are in control of this space. They are making decisions for themselves, that I trust them, that I accept them, that their choice is their choice, that there's no judgment or animosity, that's empathic, that all of the things that we're trying with those core conditions and really honing in on the purpose, going back to the why, right? Is that I'm reiterating that in the word choices that I choose to use on choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of choices happening here.
So many choices. So I really try, and yes, I think that's an important piece of it. Mm-hmm. I'm making sure that the choices are acceptable.
Yeah. And they have to, so I think this is a kicker to all choice giving, is it has to be acceptable to you, but it also has to be acceptable to the child. Otherwise, it's not really a choice.
Right. And we're setting a child up for failure. Like you said, if you're in there and you're like, you can choose to run back to class, they're going to get in trouble. And that's not, I feel like that's really kind of duplicitous on our part. Mm-hmm. We're not going to present a choice that will, whether not be accepted by the environment or the people around them, ourselves or the child.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other times I give choices. I guess we could talk about going into the room.
I mean, I give choices, like I'll have a kid ask me, maybe they're cooking food and they're like, what do you want me to make you?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Typically I'll return responsibility, which is another one of our skills that we'll be talking about. Or if you're listening to these later, right, we do have a podcast on returning responsibility. So I might say that's something you can decide. And for some kids, that's really hard. They don't like all of the responsibility. So I will go there first and stay there for a while. And then if they're having a hard time, you know, you could choose A or you could choose B, right? So you can choose, because maybe they have three items out. You could choose to cook me, if I'm staying truly generous, child-centered, that one, or you can choose to offer me this one, right? So I'm using the this and that.
Because you've
already labeled it.
Like, it's a tomato.
Yeah. Like last week I got into with one of the kids, they really didn't want to make a choice. And they said, I'm choosing for you to choose in here. And I was like, oh, it's so hard to make choices. But in here, what's most important is that you get to choose. Mm-hmm. And I really am okay with any of the choices that you're offering me. So if that's me using the yellow cup, the blue cup, or the red cup,
I'm okay.
I like all of those choices. And they're like, what if I put poison in one of them? You can choose to poison me. And they're like, well, I don't want to poison you. And I was like, oh, it sounds like that's not a choice you really want to make. Yeah. Like, it's not. And so then we went to the other two cups and then it was like real easy. They're like, I think you like your favorite color. I think you said was yellow. So I'm going to give you the yellow cup. I was like, oh, you know, I want the yellow cup. And they're like, yeah. And again, I'm not getting in the battle in those moments. And so there's an example of like really empowering the kiddo to make the decision without taking over, without interjecting what I really want in that moment, and to sit in the emotional struggle for the child too, right? Like, this is a really hard decision for you, because for many kids, if they've never had responsibility, even if it's minor responsibility, like giving me the red cup, the blue cup, or the yellow cup,
that can be hard.
It's a cup, but that may be a really big decision for them. And so I want to give them the opportunity to feel what it feels like to make that choice.
And I think that reminds me, there are two things. One is, conversely, at home for our caregivers, it can very much matter if they have the blue cup or the red cup. And you're like, they're the same. But it can feel very important to them. It makes me think of the Center for Play Therapy did a multicultural series, and Yi Yu Cheng did a session in Mandarin and shared how the child really struggled under those choices, even the open-ended choice of, and here you can choose to do or to play with these toys in a lot of the ways you would like to. And so there are cultural aspects of that to really consider as you're entering into these relationships, that culturally children are in some cultures, children are expected to listen to the adults. And so having those conversations about how the space is different and speaking with the caregivers to really understand the cultural nuances and values, I think is really important. And
Go ahead. I'm sorry, you didn't finish.
I was going to say, as you were explaining it, you know, having a conversation of like, it's really important for me to make the choice on the cup. You know, this is why I'm not, you know, I choose not to, because your choice is more important. And then eventually you may be like, okay, it feels really uncomfortable if I'm not choosing, and reflecting back what they're sharing with you, I think is important, in being aware of those cultural nuances.
I was even thinking from like a cultural aspect of the idea of respect. And that idea of like hierarchical respect that happens in some cultures, right? Like, we can convey respect within our choice giving language as well of it's really important for you to honor me, or like in our reflections, back to the kiddo. So when we are giving choices, it's not such a conflict with the way they're kind of raised and the values that parents may be putting on them, as well as like within the play space. So that is important for us to be thoughtful of.
Yeah. I think it's also important to talk about that we make choices too. So I may choose not to be my lap. I choose not for you to sit on my lap. And that is a choice that I make in the space. And I say it in a way that is very accepting and caring and understanding. And also, I think what that models is that they also have choices over their bodies and what they're comfortable with. I think that there's also choices that I'll make in the space that are less about consequence and more about safety. So if you choose to jump off that, you choose for me to stand here just in case. Or if you choose to... Dr. Casey Lee has a great video of group play therapy of kids jumping off a puppet theater onto the linoleum floor. And she's like, if you choose to jump from there, you choose for me to move the sandbox so that you don't hit your head or something, you know? So sometimes I'm making choices for safety so that they can still have the freedom to make the choices that they are okay with, and I can make a choice that I'm feel safe with them in my care.
Which I think that also conveys to the child that this is you and not them. And so they can better understand of maybe why you're making that choice. I know when I was working in the clinic that Casey was talking about, I had a kiddo that would scale from the sink to the windowsill.
Yeah.
Across a chair to the top of the puppet theater to then stand on top of the bookshelf. I mean, like, and the floors were hard linoleum. There was no cushion under this linoleum. It old school linoleum floors, right? And just lots of corners and other stuff. And I originally, you know, was just putting a limit on it. It wasn't working. And so then for myself to convey, this makes me nervous. And like my kiddo once said, oh, is that what's going on? You're nervous about this? I'm not nervous about my abilities. And I was like, I know you're not nervous, but I think if I stand over here, I would be less nervous, which then helps them not misinterpret what's happening in the space. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what Maggie's talking about here, is that sometimes we're going to share our choices with the kid and model that for them and convey why, right? So we're going to have a lot of transparency about it. Is this is making me nervous that, you know, it's a long leap from the windowsill to the bookshelf, with a lot of hard surfaces and bumpy corners underneath that make me a little nervous that you could get hurt. Just mm-hmm. so you all know, he could do it.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I will say, based on where I stood, I sometimes became part of a support system. So like he might use my head to put one hand on. So when he made the leap, you know, this child was fully capable of and figuring out how to do it. And I felt like I could offer more acceptance and support when I was closer. And it really supported our relationship because he was like, man, you have a lot of anxiety about stuff like this. And I was like, sometimes I do. You're right.
Right.
You know, and I'm not getting in a power struggle with him over it. I just, it made me feel better. I was able to be closer. He did it. He showed me he could do it. We did it multiple sessions. And sometimes he directed me where I should stand.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is also really empowering for him to be like, instead of standing over here, stand on this side this time. And sometimes I'd agree. And sometimes I'd say, I don't know that would make my anxiety feel better. And he's like, okay, then go to the other side. Right. Because I did, my ultimate goal is his safety in the playroom. I think another time that we might model choice giving, I personally choose not to be handcuffed behind my back.
Yes.
In the play space. Some therapists may be totally okay with that. I've just been shot in the face one too many times to feel comfortable with that. And I wear glasses to read and on the computer, but I don't wear glasses other times. So I don't have like the protection of my eyes and other stuff. So by choosing to be handcuffed in the front, I am still okay with being handcuffed, but I'm modeling for them that I can make decisions that make me feel comfortable in the playroom, just like I want them to have the choice of making decisions that make them feel comfortable in the playroom. Mm-hmm. And so, and it also gives me the chance. So if a bullet is coming, even though I've set a limit, I can put my hands up and protect my face, right? So that I don't get hit in the face. So sometimes it is important to model those choice-giving skills.
Yeah.
So Maggie, I feel like we've talked about empowering choices. I'm going to talk a little bit about choices as consequences and reinforcement choices, if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
Dr. Landreth, this is an advancement from his limit setting, this idea of choices as consequences, and what we want to convey to the child. So first and foremost, choices as consequences have more weight to them because there is a consequence. There's going to be a choice a child likes more than the other. And so it's set up where we're really conveying who gets to make the decision. So we're going to use the word choose 5 times at a minimum when we use this model that Dr. Landreth set up. And it sounds something like this. You can choose, there's our first choose, to do whatever action. And you choose for whatever the consequence of that may be, right? Or you can choose to do a second behavior, and then you choose for the second consequence of that behavior. And if you're really great, then you add the 6th choice, which is which one do you choose to do, right? So now the message is very clear. It's all placed on the child. So what this might sound like, and I'm going to give an example, is I worked with a kiddo that scalped all my dolls in the playroom, which may not sound like a big deal, but dolls are expensive. And every time, and one of the appeals of doll is their hair for other kids. So if your kiddo is constantly scalping the dolls in your playroom, you have no hair on any of your baby dolls. And that could be for the dollhouse. That could be your baby dolls in kitchen and play section, right? And so it became a bigger deal. And so I needed to, after I set the limit, and I set the limit multiple times for this child to hear the limit, I went to this choices as consequences. So the way it sounded for this kid is, if you choose to leave the hair on the dolls, you choose to continue to play with the dolls. If you choose to cut the doll's hair, you choose to be all done with the dolls for today. Which do you choose? Or I could have the other choice that I gave too. Scissors were really important to this kid. Mm-hmm. And so the consequence became, you choose to be all done with scissors for today instead of all done with the dolls for today. Because that really was the driving force, but it just matters, right? So which do you choose? Mm-hmm. A really hard choice for this kiddo, because he was really conveying a lot through scalping the dolls in the playroom. It was a lot about mistrusting people and other stuff. So it was part of the therapeutic process. And there's other ways he could convey that in the playroom, because I personally could not afford to replace all these dolls every week, every time you scalp them. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but that is kind of how it sounds. So there's four. Now, some important things that we need to think about when we talk about choices as consequences or for reinforcement. We cannot use it as a way to manipulate the child's behavior or to threaten the child. And it can quickly turn that way. And as Maggie was talking earlier, we need to have those choices, right? Like the consequences to be okay for myself and for the child. Mm-hmm. The child may not like one of the consequences, but it's not threatening. Like if you do this, then you're going to lose this privilege forever. That's a threat.
Yeah.
Right. And we need to be careful with that. And manipulation would be something like, if you choose to do the choice I want, then you choose to get this. And if you choose not, then the other choice is going to be so terrible. It's not really even a choice. So like if I'm thinking of a food choice, if you choose to finish your dinner, you choose to get ice cream. If you choose not to finish your dinner, then you're going to get spinach for the rest of the week, right? That's a manipulation and a threat. And we want to stay away from that as much as possible. And I know that's an example for parents, but we want to be mindful of that in the playroom. So you won't be able to play in the sand for the next month, right? And the other thing about consequences is they need to experience them over and over and over again. So you want to make it where it's just short period. I think Dr. Landris kind of rule around this is something like it's got to match the developmental level of the child. And so if we're going to take something away, we need to think about how old this child is. If I took it away for the rest of this session, is that enough? Right. And I'm not looking at multiple sessions, because the next time they come in, I want them to be able to experience this idea that they can get themselves back under control.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just threw up all that information. So
no, I was going to say something, but I forgot.
I know, because I kept interrupting you.
No, I'm glad that you got it out. I think, this was what I was going to say, is that it's also really important that you just don't set a consequence without giving them the opportunity to know what the consequence is. I think that feels really unfair for adults. If you don't, I know that if I run a red light, the consequences may be that I get a ticket or that I get arrested or I get in an accident, all of those
things. You lose your license,
you hurt someone. And so if we don't tell them what the consequence is, it can really, it hurts your trust, and it can harbor resentment, and it can feel really out of control. And so really trying to let children know, if you choose this, you can choose this or you can choose this. And I think that's very important. It's hard as a caregiver. It's hard to come up with acceptable choices sometimes in the moment, because these things happen really, really quickly. And so trying to slow yourself down and regulate yourself in those moments, I think is really important, because you're not necessarily going to know what choices are okay in that moment for you, because you're not going to have necessarily the opportunity to prepare for them. I think that leaving and entering the room can be a little bit easier. I think those are ways in which you can present choices. Like we could say, like,
and prepare for them,
turn up the light, turn up, open the door. All, you know, those are ways that you can kind of prepare for those things, that they may not work for every child. I am curious about this one, because this has come up in some of the Facebook groups, and I'm curious on your perspective. So I had a child who loved pouring bubbles on the floor, and that was really hard to clean up. And so I had to kind of go through, like, what are the choices that I'm giving? It didn't matter how many choices I gave. This was an activity that was very important for them, similar to the dolls. And it's kind of one of those things that, like, once you do it, you can't, like, put it back in.
Put bubbles back in the jar.
Cannot. And so I had to first and foremost think about what's going on for me in these moments. And it's like, okay, well, this is hard to clean up. What are, you know, and I'm worried about getting, it was Dr. Ray D. Ray's class, and I did not want to be late. You, as a professor, you can be late. As a student, do not. And so I was like, okay, these are what's going on for me. So I thought about all of these different things, including lessening the amount of bubbles in the bottle so that it was less to clean up. I asked people to help me clean up, which is a luxury that I was afforded in that space. And if you can ask people to help you in those ways, what are your thoughts on if you choose to pour the bubbles, you choose to leave on the floor, you choose to leave 2 minutes early. So it feels somewhat punitive, but I'm curious.
So there's multiple thoughts on this one. How old is the child?
3.
Okay. So you could just end session 2 minutes early without having to make that a choice.
Right.
And the child's not going to know the difference. The other thing I'm curious about, did they ever blow bubbles, or they just like to dump the bubbles?
No, it was just dumping.
Like it's water.
And this was a child.
I would almost put water in the bubble container.
That's a great choice. And just let it
right out. And then just let it, if you know, but not leave it out all the time. You would have to be like really thoughtful that for this kid, I'm going to put their bubble container out. You know, I do like the idea of putting a lot less and having like very little bubble juice in the play container, because it's about learning to be able to regulate and control your want, desire, and need in that moment, right? And not have it kind of play out. Because I do think choices are really important, because when we want to give them opportunities to practice choices when they're really little, so when the consequences are much bigger, they have the ability to regulate themselves, and it's not the first time they're feeling the weight of a consequence of their choice, because that can be much harder, because the consequences could be more life-threatening than they are when they're 2, 3, 4, 7, mm-hmm. 8, 12, right? So yeah, I would not use you choose to end the session 2 minutes early. I don't ever actually give that as a choice. To me, that's an ultimate decision that you're choosing to end the session. And in my career, so I've been practicing since 2012, I have used that once since 2012, ending the session early.
Yeah.
Now I have structured the session where we end, and it's planned to leave early because maybe the kid makes a huge mess, but that's part of their therapeutic process. And in consultation, we find that the kid needs that opportunity to be really messy. But in order for me to be ready for the next child, I'm needing to leave so that I can get the room cleaned, or I structure it where that kid is my last session of the day, where I don't have as much constraint. But also, I don't want to get to the point where I resent this kid because I'm having to stay 30 minutes after to clean the session. So sometimes ending the session a little early can be helpful. But for me, I think I would either put less water in, or put less bubble juice in, or maybe replace it with water for this one kid, so they still get the experience of that control of dumping it, but my emotional reaction would not be as strong. The cleanup would be a little easier. The other thing that people may not be thinking about here is the safety of pouring bubbles, depending on the surface of your playroom. So if it's like a linoleum or a tile, or even like a hardwood, whatever is in bubbles, it's got to be the soap and water combination or the glycerin that are in bubbles. It makes the floor incredibly slippery. And so it does become a safety issue. And so that's why I think in my head, I'm like, I wonder if it's like, what is the purpose of dumping the bubbles? And then if it's just really that control and that excitement, and I have no control over myself and I don't really blow bubbles because I'm three and I'm not very good at it. And so that's not, I just use it's, it looks like water to me. Then why not replace it with water and let them have that ability to dump water on the floor? I might, if I was to give a choice, I might say something like, you can choose to pour that in the sink if I have a sink in my play kitchen, or you can choose to pour it in the sandbox, right? Where something could absorb it. So I don't have the fear of safety about the floor getting really slippery. Now, if I have carpet, I might feel really different, though it's going to be wet for a while, but that you can just get some paper towels. And if you stand on it, right, you can soak up most of the juice. It will stain it over time. That's the only hard part. So if you are on a lease and you get charged for stains and other things in your playroom, you're going to have, right? Like you're going to have different feelings about that too.
But I think like this is what is really, I think this is a very helpful processing of kind of what goes into when we're thinking about these things. Well, thank you.
Bye,
Like,
y'all. So sorry.
subscribe. And we're on social media, so let us know, email us, and we're going to send you one sheeters. We care about you. Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.